This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let me tell you one thing. The Cowboys won today.
Dak Prescott is worth every penny.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Noticed on your Instagram account at MichaelIrvin88, you attended a Mavs Clippers game with Zeke and Dak. How is Dak?
Dak is back.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, 12-year NBA veteran Rex Chapman, Padres shortstop Jake Cronenworth. Still to come, actress Emmanuel Shrieky, your phone calls, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Pleased to be with you here on this this fun Friday. Rex Chapman was in hour number one, and we were talking with him about his former teammate Jason Kidd being mentioned with a hot rumor that the Mavs were thinking of naming him the next head coach of the team. And he's like, that would be incredible. It'd be incredible for the Mavericks. It'd be incredible for Luka. It'd be incredible for Jason Kidd. And guess what happened last hour? Jason Kidd became the new head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. We spoke with Mark Jones of ESPN, who's in town to call the Western Conference Finals for ESPN Radio. We went down memory lane. Great stories about Stuart Scott and Hubie Brown and Bill Walton and Mark Jones, who predated my tenure at ESPN by 6 years. Emmanuel Shrieky on the program in hour number three. We'll ask her the question that we've been talking about all show. So your first concert and where? Because my first concert that I ever saw was in Nassau Coliseum, which could close tonight if the Lightning close out the Islanders. Although that game is in Tampa, that would mean that there would be no more hockey games in Nassau Coliseum.
No more.
So we'll ask that of Emmanuel Shrieky. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Chris Brockman, do you remember Hal Morris, the player Hal Morris?
I do remember Hal
remember
Morris.
Chris Sabo?
Remember I do
Chris
remember
Sabo?
Chris Sabo.
Remember Barry Larkin?
Yes.
Remember Barry Larkin?
Absolutely.
Remember Jim Abbott?
I do, absolutely.
Do you remember Derek Jeter?
Oh,
remember
I know what you're doing now. It took me a while.
What do these people all have in common?
They went to the University of Michigan?
Well, Derek didn't. He was going to, but, you know, he had a Hall of Fame perfect person
anyway?
Career.
You claim him anyway for Michigan?
Hello?
Because of intent.
Yes. And I claim this man. San Diego may claim this man, but I claim him. I claim this
Aggressive.
Man. I claim this man. The amount of delight he gave me watching them go on this run and maybe come so close to winning College World Series title in 2019 and then watching him do what he's doing right now for the San Diego Padres. We're not talking about Fernando Tatis Jr. or Manny Machado. We're talking about Jake friggin' Cronenworth, who's right here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Jake? How's that for an introduction?
That was awesome. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
You're doing awesome. I will say that. You are doing awesome. How are you? How about that? How are you doing, Jake Cronenworth?
Man, I'm great. This is it's been an awesome homestand and an awesome year so far, and I'm just happy there's full crowds back in the stadium.
Right. That must be, and it just, you know, just seeing the crowds back in and seeing how people are in the stands watching you and the rest of your teammates and how thrilled they are to see how you are performing. What is it like to bat in between Tatis and Manny Machado, Jake? What is that like?
I don't know. It's I don't know whose idea it was to put me there. I don't even know if I belong in that spot, but it's been pretty special. Those two guys are pretty special to play with too. So,
You were put there. I mean, that's a serious responsibility. It stretches the lineup, obviously. It extends the lineup, and plus, you know, you're needing to protect somebody in front of you who's protecting, you know, the person behind you as well. So what have you seen better pitches? What has it been like for you, Jake?
I think the biggest difference is, you know, when the lineup's a little more spread out and it's lefty righty, you know, maybe you might get one extra righty out of that bullpen to face Toddy and Manny, but and maybe see one less lefty. So that's really the only difference. You know, guys are pitching how they're going to pitch in today's game, and I think that's, you know, kind of how the whole league's doing it.
And what is it like in your clubhouse these days, performing? Obviously, you're in a very deep end of a pool in the National League West. What do you guys talk about when you think of your common goals? Do you guys talk World Series, like, openly in your clubhouse, Jake?
You know, I wouldn't say openly. You know, we have some guys in our team who've been there and won the World Series, so they know what it takes. But, you know, I think everybody's goal is just to win each day and, you know, if we're playing our best baseball at the end of the year, I think everybody knows what we can do.
All right, I've been dancing around the question that I really want to ask you straight up, Jake Cronenworth. How does going to the greatest institution of higher learning on planet Earth helped you in becoming a Major League Baseball star, Jake? How has that helped you?
You know what, I'll tell you this. I get a lot of crap about it in the locker room because I'm one of the only guys on the team that went to college. But I try to tell them Michigan's the greatest place to ever exist. So,
right.
You know, guys, they'll have to experience it for themselves someday.
Well, I mean, why would you get crap for going to Michigan, Jake? I don't get it.
Because I talk about it a lot. I think a lot of people who do go to Michigan talk about it a lot because it is so great.
Yeah, that's why we annoy people, Jake. I mean, that's why we annoy everybody when we talk about how terrific it is. But they give you crap for it in your clubhouse?
A little bit, you know.
But, I mean, I guess in all seriousness then, how did your run to the College World Series title help you prepare for these moments for you right now?
Well, I actually wasn't on that team. I was on the team in 15 that won the Big Ten championship.
Right.
And then we ended up losing in the regional to Louisville.
So you,
but
that's
that team
right.
was super special.
So you closed out. Did you close out a Big Ten championship, Jake? Did you like get on the mound and close one out back in the day?
I did. Yeah. I think I saved all four games in that conference tournament.
So let me ask you this question, Jake Cronenworth. When it all comes down to it, can you come out of the pen? Can Jace Tingler hand you the baseball at some point in time?
I like to think I can. I think I might need a couple months to get ready to be back to like what I was and when I was pitching in 2019. But I think if we had nobody left and it was a last resort, I think I could do it.
Come on now, how fast could you touch right now, Jake? If given the ball,
right now, I don't know about right now. I would like to say in the low to mid 90s, but. I don't know.
Okay. Jake Cronenworth here on The Rich Eisen Show. How much do you enjoy homering off of Trevor Bauer? How was that question? What do you think?
I enjoy homering whenever I can because I don't get too many of them. But, you know, those guys are really good. So any chance you can hit a homer off a really good arm, that's always fun. Too.
Okay. I like that. That's a very high road answer. I appreciate that. But it does seem to me, though, that your team relishes the competition against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Would that be a safe assumption, Jake?
100%. Yeah, they're a really good team. You know, whenever we play them, both teams are bringing their A game, and I feel like every game we play against them, it's a one-run game in the ninth, and somebody's on base, and the tying or winning run's at the plate, and, you know, somebody's always making a big play on either side.
So, okay, what are you guys talking about in your clubhouse these days? Jake Cronenworth of the San Diego Padres here on The Rich Eisen Show. What are you guys talking about in your clubhouse these days about the pitchers being checked for all these substances? What's the general sense of what you and your teammates are talking about?
It's a crazy time in our game, and, you know, the league made the decision this past Monday to check the pitchers when they're coming off, and you know, it's just kind of where we're at. You know, different guys have different opinions on it. And, you know, it's just one of those things. I don't know how long it's going to last. But for right now, this is kind of the state of our game.
What is your opinion on it, Jake?
Yeah, you know, good and bad. You know, I think, you know, guys throughout the history of baseball have been using it. And, you know, that's really it. I mean, you know, now I think maybe guys took it a little too far and we're kind of at where we are now, but, you know, I'm sure they'll try to do something to even the playing field out here in the future in the next couple of years.
So, how do you feel as a hitter then, Jake? Cause you know, we've heard from Pete Alonso of the Mets. We've heard from others who are saying, let some of these guys have something because I don't want to get hit by a pitch. Do you ascribe to that, Jake Cronenworth?
You know, I guess I've never really thought about it like that. Where guys were using it to maybe not hit guys, but, you know, I will say some guys' pitches have been really, really good this year, and pitchers have been really good, and I think that's a testament to them, too, just getting really good in the offseason. But we'll see how, now that they're getting checked and they're not allowed to use it, how their stuff turns out for the rest of the season.
Jay Cronenworth here on the Rich Eisen Show. How much better do you think you can get, Jake? What do you need to improve on? What do you take that approach? What do you got for me there?
You know, I think the biggest thing for me, you know, during the year and during the off season is just getting as good as I can on the defensive side of the ball. We got a really good starting pitching staff and a really good bullpen. So anything I can do to help those guys out as much as I can to keep us in a game, that's kind of my main goal.
Okay, and then wearing that chain as much as possible, Jake. How heavy is that thing?
It looks heavier, or it is heavier than it actually looks.
Is that right?
It's pretty heavy.
No kidding. So is that solid gold or something like that, or is it that?
I don't know what's in it. I haven't asked what's in it.
Okay,
but. It is pretty heavy.
Is it the hood ornament on Manny Machado's car? Is that what that is? Or he could afford that with his latest contract or Tatis? I mean, is that what that is?
I think they can afford it.
Okay. Who picks up the tab for dinner now that maybe you're going to start doing that sort of thing? Who does that with you guys? Who does that?
Well, if I had to guess, you know, Tatis has got the biggest contract, so I think he's on the hook for that
one. Come on. Now, does he have, is that where is he like that Geico commercial where he's got alligator arms reaching for the check? Or does he really?
No, I know Manny and Hosmer said something about it earlier before the season when he signed it. You know, he's picking up that check now that he's got the biggest contract. So.
Okay. Now, hold on a minute. I was unaware about this fact. It just was whispered into my ear by my producer, Mike Hoskins. Did you strike out Mookie Betts earlier this year, Jake? Did that happen? Did you get on the mound and do that? Did that happen?
I did, yeah.
What happened? See, you still can do it. You've got it, right?
Well, it was an extra inning game. I think it was the 12th inning the second game we played him this year.
Yes.
And Corey Seager had led off the inning with a two-run homer, and then somebody else had hit an RBI double. So they had gone up three or four runs, and we had no pitching left. Because we had played a super close game the night before. We had no pitching the rest of that game. So we had a mound visit, and I'm looking in the bullpen, and nobody was getting up. And they just said, hey, you're in the game. You're pitching.
the first guy
grounded out to first base, and I forgot to cover first base, so he got a hit, and then David Price ended up hitting a sack fly off of me.
Right.
And then me not covering first base allowed me to face Mookie, and I ended up striking him out.
What'd you strike him out on? Do you remember?
Just a sinker. I think he was a little surprised that I threw the sinker off.
You got it because you had that in your bag. He didn't think you had that in your bag. There's no scouting report on you, right?
No, not going
to the pitcher's meet.
At that time, there wasn't. So it's been 2 years since I pitched. So.
Okay. All right. So you're deep in your bag, man. I like it. All right. That's great. Now, did you strut off the mound like Bauer at least? Or no? Did you stare him down? Did you give him a little stare down?
A little Girardi stare down?
A little Max Scherzer stare down?
I asked for the ball from Victor Carantini immediately because – I knew I wanted that thing.
Where's the ball now? Is it home? You got it?
The ball is in my locker. Authenticated everything.
Damn straight it is.
Get Mookie to sign it?
Yeah.
No.
Come on now. He's trying to beat him.
That's still cool.
He's trying to beat him. You're trying to be Ohtani of the National League is what you're trying to do.
I don't know. That guy is unbelievable.
Right? I mean, and I guess, again, front row seat in terms of how you got a good feeling here. I mean, because it just it comes through the television set. You know, Slam Diego, you know, and then this year. It just feels like you guys have some momentum with the Padres, Jake, quite frankly.
Yeah, we're playing really good right now. I think we had a really tough road trip before we came back home this past weekend against the Reds. And then that first night reopening night with all the full stadium, Hosmer hits a game-tying two-run homer, and then Carantini hits a walk-off two-run homer. I think that just kind of jump-started everything for us.
Mm-hmm. Would it be provocative to have the Victors as a walk-up song to the plate, Jake? Or is that too provocative in Major League Baseball to ask for that?
I'll tell you this. I don't even need to have it as a walk-up song. About once or twice a homestand after one of my hits, they'll play the Victors through the stadium after one of my hits.
That's great. This is great. We just need a win against Ohio State, and then we're fine.
I was hoping you said that.
That's all we need. We just got a one November.
I wasn't gonna say it.
Oh, the amount of crap that I take, man. Because the NFL is filled with players from the Ohio State, and it's been a rough go of it for me, Jake. I don't mean to complain and bitch and whine to you. And
no, you kind of our strength coach for our team went to Ohio State. So I hear about it all the time.
Oh, please. Oh, Jake, this has been a pleasure. Let's chat down the road, you know.
Absolutely.
It really is a pleasure watching you play and be the Michigan man at this major league level. You and Rich Hill. Rich is killing it. He's killing it right now. So you guys keep doing what you're doing. Very proud to watch you do it. So thanks for the call, Jake.
Awesome. Thanks, Rich. I appreciate you having me on.
Anytime. Let's do this again. That's Jake Cronenworth. He's raking for the San Diego Padres. Playing the Victors.
I had Jake in fantasy last year. Monster.
I got him this year.
Monster.
I have him. I didn't even mention that. Oh, Coop would be so upset I didn't say that. We picked him up. He's been just a delight.
Yeah, he's great.
Delight. You know what Coop did? The Branch Rickey of the Rich Eisen household? Dad, we should get Kyle Schwarber. And I'm like, he's the king of this guy just hit 19 homers.
Let's pick him up. Yeah.
And I'm like, when somebody's that hot, you pick him up. Invariably, it's too late.
Right.
And then when Schwarber hit two home runs in his first two at-bats on behalf of Tell It to the Judge. And then he tells me that the kid from Tampa, Wander...
Franco.
Was picked up by Hayward Joblimy in our league. And then it's followed by, Dad, what's so funny?
I don't know if I could say my fantasy team name either.
Very good. That's the name of the team. Let's take a break. The delightful Emmanuel Shrieky in Die in a Gunfight, which is in select theaters on digital and on demand, coming up in just a couple weeks' time. Emmanuel Shrieky will join us next on The Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
Del Tufo, we had this before, too. We discussed this. I don't know if you heard in the green room. Mike, our audio executive, as he likes to be called, was asked a question because for some reason we're giving him a platform to answer questions of people who are asking him for advice. Somebody asked you about what a great idea for a first date is.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. And you want to tell Emmanuel what your idea great for a first date is?
Helicopter ride to Catalina, dinner, and back.
Yes.
Really? A first date? Somebody that you've just met?
Hell yeah.
Really?
You want to make an impression?
You wouldn't be totally freaked out if somebody...
No, I would be like, wow, this is your first date? I can't wait to see what the second date is.
That would be a flight to San Francisco
for dinner. Dude, see, have a plan.
I actually did that.
Done this so before.
Funny. I actually did do the San Francisco thing. Oh, I did do that for a date. Right after I got divorced.
Now it just gets creepier.
See,
to me, that seems pretty damn aggressive.
No, you want to know why? Because I feel like these days...
Mm-hmm.
Your first date, mm-hmm. you've already done so much research on each other. Like, there's no blind dates anymore. It's like, you have the internet and you have the whatever, all these.
Twitter, Google, all that stuff.
So you really have an idea of, like, who this person is.
Okay. So if you find out that this person is somebody who works a soundboard but refers to himself as an audio executive, okay, wears cargo shorts all the time. And then on top of all of it, has his own Ustream on Friday night where he sits in his apartment.
Condo.
Come on. And DJs for all those who are watching live via Ustream. That person offers you a helicopter flight to Catalina. You're still in?
Listen, if that person
mm-hmm. yes.
is into all of those things,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Oh, my
God. All right, Del Tufo, you're in.
Wow.
There is some woman that would 100% appreciate that and mm-hmm. be like, wow, that was epic.
Wow.
It's not for everybody.
No, definitely not. Del Tufo's in Cloud9. You have absolutely flabbergasted Brockman.
I'm putting this up.
All right, so when's the next Ask Mike Del Tufo session? When's that?
Next week. Once a week we'll do it.
Oh, once a week. Less is more. For the guy who wants to fly to Catalina with somebody they just met.
Oh, man. We were ready to just jump all over him, and Emmanuel Shrieky would not let us. That was 3 years
very
ago.
Very into it, man.
Oh, boy. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. We were just playing to our Peacock audience a snippet of the last time our next guest was here. We're back here on this Rich Eisen Show radio affiliate. She was here in person the last time. Right now, she's calling into the show to promote her film that will be in select theaters on digital and on demand starting on July 16th. Die in a Gunfight, one of the stars of that. Emmanuel Shrieky back here on the show. How are you, Emmanuel?
Hello, Rich.
How have you been?
I was listening to the little snippet,
and
I'm laughing. I was just laughing my head off. Yes. I always have so much fun with you guys. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. We're doing well. We've been on the air pretty much every day throughout all this madness and craziness, and we're, you know, talking sports, having fun. Just that's what we've been up to. How about you?
Yeah. Thank goodness. I've been on location in Vancouver for 10 months. I'm shooting Superman and Lois over here.
Mm-hmm.
And, but Rich, I was supposed to be out here for 6.5 months and we had 2 shutdowns. So it turned into 10 months, border closed. It was truly one of the most challenging experiences of my life. A good experience. I love my cast and my crew, but you know, the whole year, I think everybody has some crazy story.
Yeah.
That's mine.
Again, last year was crazy just talking about life more than anything else. And then sports began to come back and there's always movies and pop culture to talk about. And that's we've been having this conversation today because in the world of hockey, The Nassau Coliseum, where the Islanders play, and Kevin Connolly, who you know very well, is a diehard Islander fan. The Nassau Coliseum would close down if the for good if the Islanders lose tonight, and that's where I saw my first concert, Chicago, back in 1985. Oh. What was your first concert, and where was it, Emmanuel Shrieky, that you ever attended?
My first concert was at Ontario Place in Toronto. Mm-hmm. It was like an outdoor venue. Mm-hmm. And it was this band, it's an old rock and roll band. I went with my brother called SM. I don't know if you've ever heard of them or not.
No, I have not.
That was like my first concert.
Huh. My first concert is I went Random. There in high school. My dad drove me all the way out from Staten Island to Long Island, and I went with a classmate of mine who I wanted to date, and that did not work out well. She was a hard habit to break, to use the phrase of one of the songs that we heard that night, Emmanuel, My Tale of Woe.
Oh, man. Night.
I know.
But wait, so you mean, so now we're waiting to hear what happened with the Coliseum?
Yeah, well, the Coliseum is definitely closing down. It's done. They're moving to this beautiful place and just right on the border of New York City and Nassau County. They're moving in there regardless next year.
What a trip.
I know. And it's and if the Islanders...
But it's like a piece of history.
It is. You know who they would play, the Islanders would play, would be the Montreal Canadiens. Do you have any, like, because you're from, are you from Montreal? Is that your hometown or no?
Yeah, born there. Born in Montreal, and raised in Toronto. But, I think we've talked about this. Do you know how many times Kevin Connolly has tried to get me to a hockey game?
And?
It has not worked. No, it's never happened.
But I thought the fact that you're Canadian means you have to have gone to at least or want to go to a hockey game. You know what I mean? Wouldn't that have to be part of your...
You would think.
But not at all. Huh.
DNA, yeah.
Mm.
Nope.
Not even the slightest bit. That is something else. But
I mean, listen, I will because I have to at some point, but you know, it's not my first inclination. I much prefer going to a basketball game.
Okay, so what was the last sporting event that you've been to that you can recall based on all your hard work and and being in a quarantine and things like that? Do you remember last time that happened?
Well,
Was it also in Toronto?
No, definitely it would have been in LA.
Right.
I couldn't tell you what, a basketball in LA for sure at the Staples Center.
Look at that.
But that would be a while ago.
Fantastic. A while ago. Emmanuel Shrieky here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, tell me about your film that's coming out in a couple of weeks' time, Die in a Gunfight. Walk me through this one.
Oh, cool. Yes, Die in a Gunfight with Diego Boneta and Alexandra Daddario and Travis Fimmel. It was such a cool experience, Rich. Like, this is, for me, this is a true cameo. The director, Colin Shifley, he had this vision of my character, and I had to have so much fun with it. It was this idea of like go big or go home. So you'll see, I have like this insane blonde wig, and it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, we're seeing that.
And I play opposite. Yeah. The blonde wig. Yeah.
We're seeing a photograph of
me,
it right
it's
up
cool.
here.
You see the photograph, right?
Yeah.
Which is like part of the fun, right? Like reinvent yourself. But it was such a fun, cool sort of romantic action movie, you know, with the likes of little Romeo and Juliet. And it was just so much fun. It was a week in my hometown. Travis and I play this crazy couple. It's so much fun. Travis is such a great actor. And here it is. It's coming out July 16th.
July
16th. But I think it'll be like a really, really fun summer movie.
Yeah, and it's July 16th in select theaters on digital and on demand. When you were maybe in quarantine and turning on a television set and saw something from your past, what were you seeing at all? Anything from your movies, television, something that you ran into watching?
Mine? Yeah, oh, yours. No, Rich. No, no, no.
What do you mean?
Honestly, in another conversation, we'll do another conversation.
Okay.
I think I've watched everything that there is to see. Every Mare of Easttown, Queen's Gambit,
yes.
Every European television show and movie. I've had time. I've had 5 quarantines, so I've had time.
So you've had a lot. So what's the best thing that you've seen then? What did you see that that you really liked?
I gotta say, right now,
yeah?
for real, I would say Mare of Easttown blew my mind.
You're like the 19th person. You're like the 19th. Yeah, you're like the 19th person to tell me that. I have not seen it. I need to see that. I got to sit down. Right? It's like 6 episodes, right?
No, you must.
Okay.
It's a must. And then just recently, 2 nights ago, I watched The Father with Anthony Hopkins, a movie that he won an Academy Award for. When I tell you he is the master of all masters, that's another one. Like, 2 must-sees. So the next time we speak,
yes.
You'll give me the lowdown.
Okay. I will do that. I mean, it's just, you know, it's, I am more apt to see something that's a little bit lighter fare these days. You know what I mean? Like, I binge watch Schitt's Creek in about 5 minutes. You know, and
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like I that's the sort of thing that I'm into. I guess the deepest thing that I saw was Queen's Gambit, which was terrific. That was amazing. You know, I did see
it,
that.
Wasn't it?
Oh yeah.
Terrific.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It was amazing. Yeah. Well, maybe. Okay. So how about like have your summer like fun.
Yep.
And then when you feel like, you know, maybe going just a little deeper,
yes.
You'll check those out.
Fantastic. And then I'll watch Die in a Gunfight in select theaters on digital and on demand on July 16th.
Yes.
That's what I will do.
Perfect.
Emmanuel, thanks for the call. We miss next time. You just got to come in here.
Thank
and
you.
You know, my sound guy who came up with the idea of flying you to Catalina is not here today, and he's so crestfallen. He's so upset about
please
that.
Send my regards.
You know what? I'm not going to do that because you know what? I'm upset that he's not here today, and so
he doesn't deserve those.
You know, regards. You're too nice for me to drag you into our problems, but I'll let him know you were on. That's what I will do.
You're hilarious. I would love that. Thank you.
Take care.
It's always such a pleasure to speak with you.
Same to you.
And I'll see you soon.
Same to you. That's Emmanuel Shrieky, okay. Die in a Gunfight. Everybody check that out. Coming up in just a few weeks' time. On July 16th, Alexandra Daddario, who is on this show as well, back in the day.
She was.
She came in with William H. Macy together.
Fact.
That happened. And you chit-chatted with them in our green room back in the old day, if I'm not mistaken, right?
With them?
Yeah, with them.
I think that was, I was still doing the app at that point, so I was over at
You weren't here then.
I was at the broadcast center.
Our show
was. But I was here when M was here, when Emmanuel was here last time, yeah.
M? Do you know her?
I mean, I know a lot of people.
Do you just refer to her as M?
Well, that's her name.
No, it's Emmanuel.
I sat next to her at a wedding. I think we know each other.
Say what?
He sat next to Emmanuel Shrieky at a wedding. Whose wedding?
Well, at a reception, not the actual wedding.
No, at a reception is more important than the actual
wedding. Yeah, more social.
So, whose wedding?
I mean, it was when Ashton and Mila got married, so I happened to be sitting next to her.
How is that not on my notes on the card that you handed me?
Was that the single?
How are those,
which
how do those
table
not on the
that?
Notes?
I it know was she just was all a, one table. Was,
I know she was in on Entourage and You Don't Mess with the Zohan. You remember that?
True.
She was the love interest in that film. Yeah. I saw that. It's on the card here, what she's been in. Not on the card that T.J. Jefferson sat next to her at Ashton and Mila's wedding.
Reception.
Who'd you sit next to at the wedding? Or were you part of the groomsmen?
I was in the
wedding. So were you standing next to Wilmer? Who were you standing next to?
I was seated at that point. It was too hot. We all walked down, we did our thing, and then we sat, and then they got married.
And then he broke the glass?
Did we break? I don't remember that. I had a few. That day, let me just tell you, I had a, and you know me, I don't really drink that much.
Say on the rare occasion.
Yeah, I threw down that day, my friends. I mean, I made a speech. You know, they gave the mic to everyone to give their well wishes. I said something, and I'm not going to get into what I said, so don't even ask. because it's kind of personal, but I legitimately said something. Everyone started crying. Like, it was that. Okay. It was pretty touching.
Now,
we should take a break and do this after.
I don't know. We're not taking a break right now. This is too good.
That's a tease.
It's not a tease. Because if he says he doesn't want to talk about it, then we're just going to have to handle it and then move on.
Okay.
What do you mean you're not going to talk about it?
Because I don't. All joking aside, it was something I brought up that was kind of very personal and emotional, and right. I don't want to talk about
but
it now.
But this was your toast in front of the entire reception.
Right. Yeah.
So a room full of strangers, it was fine for you to share
that. Well, it was outside.
That.
We weren't in a room, but, you know.
Your best friends that you see every day and spend the most time with.
When I tell you this, once we go off air, you're both going to go, oh, wow. Sorry. So,
whoops.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just have my own children call into the show as guests. You know, I put it all out there. Do you put it all out there, Chris?
I mean, what's not out there?
Mm-hmm. What needs to be on the card, if you don't mind me saying from now on,
is
if you've had an actual wedding reception seat adjacent to the guest. That is what I would call pertinent information. To be placed on the card that it is my choice as the host to bring it up or not.
I don't think about this all the time. Sometimes it just pops into my head.
Well, how about this? Any guest that we have on that you've sat next to at a wedding.
It won't be
I can't imagine that that's a lot.
There's not
that's
a lot.
A small subset of people.
Yeah.
That'd have been nice to talk about with her.
Yeah.
Especially if she remembers just how sloppy you got.
Oh, not sloppy. Never sloppy. You know, feeling good.
Looking good. I like it. All right, let's take a break. Now we'll take a break. Now I feel it has run its course. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Oh, Urban Meyer has chimed in on the subject matter of Trevor Lawrence. Last we heard Trevor... It was too soon to name him the starter. What's next now? How different ways can they avoid the subject? Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What was the craziest substance you ever heard was being used?
Petroleum jelly. Other forms of lubricant which are designed for more intimate settings.
What is the fix?
What they have to do is identify one or two acceptable substances, but it's MLB approved. If you're found with any substance other than that, you're suspended.
Andrew Brandt, former Packers front office executive. Let's get into that Supreme Court case.
College athletes are going to have rights beyond this. It's just a matter of when. But let's be clear. This was not a pay-for-play case. Everyone's talking about you're going to pay student athletes, you're going to pay college football and basketball players. No. Mm-hmm. But the language was the NCAA is not a monopoly. You can't do this. And we're going to allow student athletes more rights in the next case, in the next case, in the next case.
What do you make of the MLB TSA checkpoints being set up for pitchers?
Can I go back to when I was playing and there were some abrupt changes that we had to deal with? And, you know, at first you're like, this is a little bit much, but then it goes away and you're used to it. I think the same will be said here. I mean, the optics, of course, are a lot different than anything we've ever seen, but there's layers to it that people forget. I think in 2 weeks it will be a non-issue.
Congrats on this book, sir.
We have Mike Tyson on, and Tyson on stage was alternately crying and laughing uproariously. There were times I was sitting there thinking he was going to hit me. I left that interview and go, wow, that was raw. That was just visceral. And then I found out 2 weeks ago that that show aired on Yes. Spike Lee was watching. And he called up Tyson immediately and said, that's a show, one-man show on Broadway I want to produce. And that's actually where Tyson on Broadway began.
What would the one-man Michael K play be called?
K doesn't always mean strikeout.
See, ladies and gentlemen.
Happy birthday, my brother. Happy birthday. And I call you my brother. And I mean that not with that color thing that we call each other brothers with, but a blood soul brother.
Mystery guest number two here on this busy Thursday.
Now, Rich, you know I ain't never been no mystery.
You're the reason why I love baseball, Reggie Jackson. Can you tell me about the night of October 18th, 1977, in which you wrapped up the World Series essentially yourself with three swings?
On the last home run, sitting in the on-deck circle, and I saw them go to the mound and bring in Charlie Huff. And in my career, I probably already had 15 homers off knuckleballers. And I looked around and said, they must not know I hit knuckleball. And the first pitch he threw, man, I hit that ball 500 feet to center field. I wanted to swing and get out of there before they found out.
Our final mystery guest is on the phone right now.
Rich, on the momentous occasion of your birthday, I'm calling in to say happy birthday and hope you are having a great one. And remember, 52... is the new 51.
It was great. What a fun week we've had here. Fun week. We're back on the Rich Eisen Show Peacock and this Rich Eisen Show radio station, both terrestrial and satellite and streaming on Odyssey. We are back here. Fun week. Just a great week. Yeah. And the birthday was great yesterday. And we've had a fun show here today. So... Last we heard about Trevor Lawrence was from the passing game coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer. And look, you know, you're not going to get any news from a passing game coordinator. You're just not going to. Certainly when it is an organization run by a head coach who's got that CEO approach, right? That's what Urban's got. That's what Urban Meyer is bringing to Jacksonville, the CEO approach. He's running a business, running an organization. He's running a team. He's running an organization. He's running it all. And last thing, you know, is he's going to let an assistant basically name the starter, even though every single human being that can fog up a mirror knows the starting quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars is, in fact, Trevor Lawrence.
Yes.
Urban Meyer's not going to try the NFL. He's not going to leave a great job that he had with Fox Sports. He's not going to do all of that without a generationally talented quarterback ready to go. He knows certainly that much about the NFL. You got to have that. So when Brian Schottenheimer said that it's too early to tell who's starting in Jacksonville, it was essentially the weather report. And by that, I mean it was peeing, but someone was telling me it was raining. With all due respect.
Respectfully.
I then said, anybody out there who's got a piece of clothing, no matter how worn it is, no matter what part of the body is being rubbed upon it, that I would collect that material and eat it and consume it on this program if Trevor Lawrence is not the starting quarterback in week one and he is a healthy human being, that he's been beaten out for the job, somebody in the competition that's being arranged there beats him out. Because we all know the competition that's being arranged there is, in fact, a complete and total sham. Now, it must be done because when you're setting a tone in a new organization for you, you gotta, I mean, there is in fact competition everywhere, and that is far from a sham.
Good thing that, however, Trevor Lawrence is so generationally talented that he will beat out whoever is placed before him in the competition. That said, it's still too early. You can't name the guy the starter when you're competing. When you're telling everybody that everybody on the roster is just as important as the next, whether they're named Tim Tebow or not. Too early. It's too early. There hasn't even been a rep taken in a training camp, which we are rooting to see on HBO Hard Knocks.
Yes, big we time. Are. Big time.
And as of this recording, as of this taping, as of this live conversation we're having, whether you're taking it in or not live or later on our podcast or what have you, still haven't.
We don't know.
We don't know. We still haven't heard about who's on Hard Knocks, and that baby's going to come out of the box in about a month. It's coming.
Five weeks away.
Oh, yeah. So it's still too early, but questions are still going to be posed whenever anybody's available. Urban Meyer was made available. Is that what's going on, Chris?
Earlier this week, he had some quotes popped out. I must have missed this
earlier this week.
I didn't really see it either, but he said of Trevor Lawrence, quote, he isn't ready yet.
Not ready yet.
But he doesn't have to be ready yet.
He doesn't have to be ready yet. Why doesn't he have to be ready yet? Because they got time? Because Gardner's there to pick up the slack? He doesn't have to be ready yet because they haven't had a training camp.
Added, we've got a long training camp coming up.
Yes.
He's probably advanced, maybe a little quicker than we thought,
yep.
Which is positive.
That's great.
Added that they gave him the playbook well before the draft.
Of course they did.
So.
Of course they did.
He's been progressing very well through that.
But I thought the draft was a process that they were still going through everything. So. And now we find out they had the playbook?
Yeah.
And I guess, again, you know, as we all know, I know all too well, Urban comes from the college world. What would he know what an NFL quarterback looks like when he's ready? I'm serious. You know what I'm saying? Like,
tip your waitress. I mean,
no, he's probably got a bunch of folks there on the staff. Well, he's ready for the NFL. This just in, for anybody wondering, and this is my also thanks to Urban, who came on this show. As you know, we're BFFs.
Urban's the great.
I would like to, he was terrific.
Right.
He couldn't have been better when he was on this program.
He was awesome.
So I will tell him, great. I will do them the favor if he needs my evaluation. As you know, I'm not known for my all 22 evaluator.
No.
I'm not known for my X's and O's. I'm known for all the other letters of the alphabet.
Gut feel guy.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You put 24 other letters in with me and my X's and O's. I'm great at that. I'm really great at that. So I'll just say, he's ready.
You want to be the official announcement?
Yeah. Oh, I'm telling you, he's ready. I'm the official announcement right now. He's ready to play in the NFL, and he's the starting quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Week one
against
Houston.
And he had everyone at hello when he ran away from the Ohio State's defense, not last year, two years ago.
Yeah.
Two. He might have been ready to play in the NFL the minute that he actually came into the world.
It's very likely. I mean, just the hair alone.
It's too soon, though. When's it going to be? Are they going to? They're going to say we're going to have to see some, see how he looks in preseason.
Here we go.
How long can they keep this up?
Does he start the first preseason game?
Oh, that he? Yeah, he's got to. He's got to.
Does he?
Well, are they going to go so far as to say let's give Minshew the first shot? Because he's gotten the reps. I mean, by the way.
August 14th against the Browns. Who starts?
Oh, come on. Please.
What?
Please. Please. I mean, how far can you take it? And Urban has got to coach him. I understand. And I know I've literally had a lot of fun now for six straight minutes. He's got to coach him, and he's got to coach him hard. And he's going to make mistakes, and Urban's going to look him in the eye and basically tell him what the hell.
Yeah.
It's going to be those moments. Invariably, it's going to be those moments. Of course. But, I mean, how long will they keep up the sham? Like, is there a date? How long can they keep it up?
Okay, so they play.
They won't name the starter after the first preseason game.
Preseason game,
right?
Against the Browns, right? And then 9 days later.
You think it's even possible he doesn't even start?
Nine days later, they play the Saints on August 23rd. And then 6 days later, they finish up the preseason against the Cowboys.
Let me tell you something. Nobody's going to play in that final game. Nobody. I mean, he might not even play in that game. So you
Jake Luton's going to play against the Cowboys?
Dude,
Yeah, and Dak won't see the field. What do you think they're going to run the risk of having him get hurt just right before the season? I mean, don't forget how Dak became the quarterback of the Cowboys.
Yeah,
who got hurt in the preseason? Please, third preseason game is going to be now like the fourth preseason game, and you're going to give your guys 2 weeks off, and you're going to see who's going to make the team. It's just going to you know, make that fourth preseason game process the third preseason game. And if you want to get Trevor Lawrence ready for the Houston Texans, you damn straight you're going to give him all the reps against those fire breathers on defense from the New Orleans Saints. Damn straight you're going to give him that reps. And you're going to give him all the reps in the first preseason game you can too. But you really think they're going to walk that tightrope and just say, yeah, Gardner's earned the right. He's been the guy here who went and lost 15 straight games when we didn't bench him to get us Trevor Lawrence.
Start him week one.
You know what? Trevor wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you, Gardner. You've earned this start.
Week one preseason. Week one. Throw Gardner out there.
Oh, baby.
Have Trevor play the second half.
How long can they keep it up? Second preseason game after that. Will Urban keep us guessing before week one? Keep the Texans on the pins and needles. How long could it go? This is impressive. This is kind of, you know what this is like?
It's impressive.
You know what this is like? This is like Kramer and the car salesman going as long as they can on that little tank of gas. You know? This is like Mike Davis on my fantasy team last year. Like the miracle of Hanukkah. Like Judah Maccabee of fantasy. Like how long can the oil keep burning? We're seeing it again right now with this story. This is impressive. This is impressive. Impressive. Well, it got us to July, and we still don't know. We still do not know about Trevor Lawrence. It's a big mystery. That and Aaron Rodgers. Who's going to start week one? Those are the two biggest mysteries in the NFL. Who's the starting quarterback for Green Bay in week one? And who's the starting quarterback for the Jaguars? I'm on the edge of my seat.
Can we parlay Gardner Minshew and Jordan Love?
Let's try and get in as many phone calls as we can here. Mike in East Lansing, Michigan. What's up, Mike?
Rich, how you doing? Got a first-time concert for you, similar to yours.
Okay, what do you got?
I saw Chicago at the Pine Knob. You being a
Knob.
State, you know, going to Michigan
I know
Pine
it.
Knob.
I know it.
So it was actually their 25th anniversary. It was my first show, and I'll see my 60th Chicago show this year.
60th? 6-0.
60, yeah.
Can Pete Cetera still hit the high notes, or is he not there anymore? Is he still there?
No, he's not there. Long gone. 85, I think he left.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
He was still good.
That's right. I think I might have seen him on his final tour, actually. Oh, boy. 60 Chicago songs. Wow. Thanks for the call, man. Pine Knob. I remember that place big time. Mike in Austin, Texas. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Mike?
All right. First concert, Seattle Center Coliseum. It would become Key Arena. It was a hot summer night in 77 or 78, and it was ZZ Top. nice. I was 12 or 13, and my brother is five years older.
Yeah.
He had long hair, and he looked a little shady, and his buddies were for sure very sketchy. So they were all worried about smuggling in their bag of weed. So their brainstorm resulted in tucking it under my Mariners hat.
Oh!
Expansion Mariners hat.
Expansion Mariners hat. Oh, my God.
The trident. Who would suspect like a fresh-faced little leaguer? That was their thing. So we finally climbed up our seats all the way up in the 300 section, and I had probably taken off my hat at least a couple times because it was so hot outside, hotter than the arena,
my gosh.
The weed was gone.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. Hey. Mike, thanks so much. I appreciate it. I wish we were right out of time right here, because what better way to take it into the weekend than the words, the weed was gone.
Eisenpalooza.
That's right. Edward in El Paso, Texas. We've got about a minute for you. What's up, Edward?
How you doing? Happy belated birthday.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
My two first concerts are kind of different. You know, most people's family vacations were Disneyland, that kind of thing. But we would always just go to Las Vegas. And I was a big Latin fan, and Caesar's Palace had just opened, and I made my dad take me to see Tiny Tim, who was headlining there.
Ah, Tiptoe Through the Tulips with his ukulele, man. Okay. Right.
And then 1 year later, Elvis Presley was at the Las Vegas Hilton.
Oh, man.
And that was the year he released Caught in a Trap.
Oh, so my
gosh. That was very cool. That's
awesome. Very good. Thanks for the call right there. By the way, one of the most popular wedding songs where people love to dance to it and people love to hear it, and the bride and groom don't listen to the lyrics, is Suspicious Minds.
Yeah.
I've been at weddings where they start playing Suspicious Minds, and I'm like, we're here to celebrate their nuptials, and right. We can't go on together with such suspicious minds.
Right, got it.
That and Every Breath You Take at weddings. It's like, all right, do you listen to the music? That's it for this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will chat with you Monday.